from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're back here at Living Treasures out in Donegal. God's country, I call it up here. It's beautiful. Wow, is it beautiful. And, of course, tomorrow we've got a football game. And the football game, it will involve the Steelers. And it's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and joining us now is everybody's favorite. That would be Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette. Everybody loves Ray. And, Ray, is 1 o'clock on a Saturday a strange time in your mind for an exhibition? I can't remember the last time they played a game like this at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. Hello, Ray. Are you there?
Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
There we go. Yes. I was saying, you know, the 1 o'clock Saturday exhibition game, it doesn't seem like they've – I can't remember the last time they did this. Is this a strange time for them to be playing a game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, I remember Sunday afternoon preseason games when it would be maybe a national Fox or a national, TV broadcast like CBS or whoever, but they are a little bit odd. Usually it's Friday night, Saturday night, but hey, the Steelers will get back to Pittsburgh early, and then by Tuesday, Paul, they got to get down to 53 players. So the coaches certainly have their work cut out for them in that 48 hours after this game's over.
So when you look at it, they're done. Tomorrow's the 24th, right?
Which means
they essentially have 15 days to get ready for Atlanta. Is that, I mean, that's pretty much what the gap is going to be. And quite frankly, I feel like it's probably not that much different than if they played the fourth game. You know how you always played on Thursday night?
Yeah.
The Carolina game. To me, that was always a waste of time anyway because nobody played.
Yeah, I mean, you would basically, practice one day that week, and then if you had to travel to Carolina, you're on the road Wednesday. So, I don't think certainly the fans don't mind it. I don't think the players mind it either, Paul. I think, 80%, 90% of these decisions are made based off of what you do in the off season and in these training camp practices. I mean, these games are important. They're part of the equation, but these coaches have a pretty good idea of who these guys are even before they get to training camp. And then, really, when you look at it, maybe, 3 to 5 jobs are open for competition near the end of the roster. And I think those are the big, the big decisions that have to be made. Those 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53 players, those guys are the ones who have to go out and show something Saturday afternoon.
Ray Fittipaldi brought to you by Elk. GKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, lgkg.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. And, of course, the Fan Hotline, which is where we're talking to Ray. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, question that everybody has, at least if you watch the national hot take shows, is who's going to be the Steelers starting quarterback. This has never been a question, has it, Ray? This has been a lot of chatter from all of these hot take shows trying to create a competition that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I think it probably stems from the fact that Mike Tomlin uses words like pole position and stuff like that, and that kind of paints the picture for people who aren't here every day that there actually is a competition, but it was never that way. Now, I got stoked a little bit in training camp when Russell Wilson had that injury. I get it. Justin Fields, got better as camp gone on, but this is Russell Wilson's team, Paul. You know, unless he has a really bad September, he's going to be this team's quarterback for the foreseeable future, and Justin Fields is a good backup option. But, you know, certainly I have to see more from Russell Wilson, and especially that offensive line after the way they played last week. They certainly have some work to do, and Mike Tomlin is going to run them out there, and probably for an extended period, because that outing last week against the Bills was so bad.
I think Russell Wilson, to me, you know, he has a, I mean, what did he practice? Maybe two full days out of the training camp?
Before that Bills game,
right.
You know, he was working his way back in, but I would say he was a full participant. Maybe just, you know, the last 3 days of that final week before the Bills game.
Right. So you knew that was going to happen. I mean, I think the other thing, Ray, that people seem to forget, you've got a brand new offensive coordinator, a completely new system. You've got basically, in some ways, a rebuilt offensive line. You've got new quarterback. And you got, you know, new receivers as well. I mean, at the end of the day, there's going to be some growing pains, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people look around that offense and they see a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You see a first-round pick in Najee Harris, a second-round pick in Pat Freiermuth. You know, first and second-round picks all across that offensive line. You know, big free agent acquisitions. But you hit the nail on the head, Paul. It doesn't matter. You know, for like a guy who's been here 4 years, like Najee Harris, is still learning a new system, just like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are. So, you know, I think Smith is going to do a really good job. I think the Steelers have to get off to a good start because the easy portion of their schedule is in September and October, but it's not going to be perfect early. And, hopefully for the Steelers' sake, they do get all this stuff ironed out, in August before the games start to count. So it didn't look good the first 2 weeks. The guys like Wilson and Smith aren't particularly concerned because they're not showing their full hand, but I think everyone wants to go into the season opener in Atlanta feeling a little bit better about themselves, and they can certainly do that if they go out and have a good outing in Detroit tomorrow.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Justin Fields if he doesn't play this year. Say Russell Wilson plays the whole season. What would his options be other than to sign with the Steelers again?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you remember, Paul, there wasn't a lot of interest on the trade market for him. The Steelers basically just had to give up a sixth-round pick to get him. So, you know, basically he would be back, in the same spot. Now, maybe other teams are searching for quarterbacks, and maybe there's a GM or a coach who has a connection to Justin Fields from Chicago. I mean, who knows how that stuff works, but based on the interest he received this spring, I wouldn't expect it to be that much different next spring. And listen, Paul, if he's buying into like a long-term project where he's trying to rehab his career and become more of a pocket quarterback than a running quarterback, then maybe it would be in his best interest to be a backup for another year or two. Of course, he wants to be a starter, but you know, sometimes these things take time, especially when you're a guy like Fields who's known for his running and is trying to become a more accurate passer. It just like the offensive line, Paul, it takes a lot of time to develop, and, you know, especially a guy who has some habits to break from his days in Chicago.
We are with Ray Fittipaldo, the Post Gazette. Ray, are you fond of snakes?
I can't not say that I've ever held a snake, but I don't mind them.
Well, I'm just saying I'm up here at Living Treasures, and I just had on my arm. What kind of snake was? What kind of snake is this thing that was just crawling on my arm? Oh, we don't have. It's a what? You're not on. So let's just. It's a ball python.
Yeah.
Okay. And how old is that ball python?
About 2 years.
All right, so I just had a ball python crawling on me, Ray. How do you like that?
I could probably handle a garter snake. I don't know if I can handle a python on my arm. Sounds like you're doing like a Johnny Carson type of type of show today.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we are. I had a kangaroo. Now I have. I just had a ball python. How old is your ball python?
About 2 years old.
So it's two year old ball python, and of course you. We'll see that. I know how long. How big will that grow to?
This species is about 5 foot. So
a 5 foot snake. What do you think about that, Ray? What if you walked out of your porch and saw a 5 foot ball python?
Yeah, that I'll take a pass on that.
Yeah. Now, are they harmful or
no? These are like between corn snakes and ball pythons, they're like the best starter snake for like a pet.
A pet. There you go. So we have it. Didn't the Steeler? Who was the Steeler that was really into the snake thing? Was it
Chad Brown?
Yeah, it was Chad Brown. I think he still has a bunch of snakes and stuff, right? I mean, that was his thing. We're living treasures. So I've got all kinds of co-hosts coming out here today. Ray, the other thing about it is this whole thing with Brandon Ayuk obviously took a life of its own and became ridiculous. But I don't think that it changes the fact they need a second receiver. I mean, again, maybe I'm missing something, but I'm watching Van Jefferson and he looks like he's Van Jefferson. I'm watching, you know, Calvin. I'm watching all of these guys. I just don't see a second guy that's going to put any fear at all in any defense.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does seem like they're all in on Ayuk, and if they don't get him, there's really not a lot of other options, even though there may be some other unhappy receivers out there. Van Jefferson had a good year a couple years ago when he was with the Rams. He helped them win a Super Bowl. Maybe they could strike lightning in a bottle, and, you know, he could have a bounce-back year. But, Paul, you're right. I mean, Scotty Miller is in camp. He's probably going to make the roster. He's had his moments with Tom Brady, but, again, you're turning back the clock there. So, in the end, Paul, if they do not get Brandon Ayuk, number two receiver is probably going to be Pat Freiermuth. Now, Pat hasn't done a lot in the first two preseason games, but if you watch him during camp, he looks really good. He looks like he's a good fit in this Arthur Smith offense. So, you know, kind of by default, I think the tight end could end up being a number two if they don't land Ayuk. I'm not closing the door on Ayuk just yet, but that thing just seems to be dragging on forever here. So it doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about it is if it doesn't happen, I know that there's, you know, Arthur Smith's offense is tight end heavy and all that, but, man, I think part of the problem with the offense, and I think I wrote about it this week, in fact, it's not just that the quarterbacks haven't been great. I don't know that the receivers, other than Pickens, have done a good job of getting themselves open.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a small sample size because, you know, Pickens and Van Jefferson aren't out there for all that much here in the first two games. Now, listen, would people have a different mindset if Mike Tomlin would have challenged that Van Jefferson catch a couple of weeks ago and that maybe that drive continues? It certainly would have. It would have been a first down. And you could say the same thing last week against the Bills, Paul. You know, that Pickens catches that ball. I think it's inside the 20 or inside the 15. Doesn't get the call by the official, but, you know, that was a nice throw by Wilson and almost a great catch by Pickens. So these guys are in here for only a handful of snaps every game. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but you better believe, Paul, they got to get off to a fast start because if this receiving core is a story in a negative way early in the season, then certainly Omar Khan and the coaching staff are open for criticism just because it's been an issue since they traded Deontay Johnson all the way back in March.
What game will be the first time that we see Broderick Jones in the left tackle, Troy Fontenot at the right tackle, and obviously Frazier is going to be your center. But what is going to be the first game where all three of those – and I know Broderick Jones is a second year guy, but I'm kind of considering him a rookie if he's going to move to a different position. So you're essentially going to have three rookies starting on your offensive line. Like, how many weeks into the season will it be before that sort of incarnation of the line, you know, actually happens?
Well, you want to know what the funny thing is about these first two preseason games? All the criticism of the offensive line, and you know whose name hasn't been mentioned? Dan Moore. So, yeah. I mean, I know he's the lightning rod. But Faiutanu had his struggles before he got injured in the opener, and then we all know Broderick Jones really struggled against the Bills. You know, Paul, to answer your question, I think this all depends on Faiutanu's health. He told us this week that he plans to be ready for that season opener, but, you know, next week they're going to practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I think they get a four-day weekend before they go back on Labor Day. So if he doesn't practice Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday next week, and he can't show that he's healthy enough to play, I don't think they're going to just put him in there with 1 week to prepare. So if he doesn't practice next week, I think it's Jones on the right and Dan Moore on the left to open the season, but that all depends on what happens with Faiutanu next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key, is if he plays. And then, to me, I think what will happen is you'll get those three young guys, quote-unquote, whatever you want to call them. The more they play together, the better they're going to get, right, Ray?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the case with any offensive line, Paul, but when you're developing with, you know, first and second round picks in consecutive years, like, I kind of liken it to the way Kevin Colbert built his lines when he drafted Pouncey in 2010, and then Gilbert came in 2011, and then DeCastro came in 2012. You know, they weren't a playoff team. They weren't even a very good team in 2013, but by the time 2014 got here, they were one of the best offenses and had one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, say, oh, it's going to take 2 or 3 years, but it is going to take time. You know, I think Faiutanu is the real deal. I think Frazier is going to be really solid, too. I don't know that he's ever going to be an all-pro, but people rave about him down there, players and coaches alike. So I feel really good about those two. I'm a little bit concerned about Jones and this injury. I think it's hampering him a little bit. So that's the one guy I kind of worry about in terms of reaching his ceiling, being a number 14 overall pick. But hopefully he gets over that soon and he can get back to who he was last year, Paul, because last year he was a darn good right tackle for them in the second half of the season.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And, of course, our Steeler coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out at T-Mobile.com/switch. Just a couple more minutes with Ray Fittipaldi from the Post-Gazette. Ray, the secondary of the Steelers was another spot that they sort of had to, you know, figure it all out. But in your mind, has it come together reasonably well? And do you feel like, you know, the secondary will be a strength of the defense?
If they don't have any injuries, I like their safeties. And I think their outside corners are going to be good enough. I've got some major concerns, though, with slot corner Beanie Bishop. Didn't play last week, and the only healthy guy right now is Thomas Graham. It seems like Bishop is maybe going to play tomorrow. I think that's going to be a game-time decision. But both those guys are not locks to be the starter in Atlanta. You know, they can make a trade. They can look to the waiver wire there, and that's really something that has to be addressed. I mean, later in the season when Cam Sutton is back, they'll be fine there. But for the first half of the season, we have to see who emerges there. And then I got some questions about the depth at outside corner as well. You know, you got Darius Rush, Corey Trice, who are vying to be the top backup on the outside. Now, nobody worries about backups until there's an injury. But if Joey Porter goes down, if Dante Jackson goes down, none of those guys, neither of those guys, Trice or Rush, has any NFL experience or any significant experience. Rush played a little bit, you know, last season, not much, and Trice was on IR. So those are the two big questions I have, slot corner and who's going to back up on the outside. They like their young guys, but again, Paul, It's one thing to like them. It's another thing to trust them when the games start for real here in another week or so.
Tomorrow they play Detroit. You know, obviously the quarterbacks are one thing that everybody's going to be watching. What is, maybe give me one or two other things that probably are, you know, going to be developments that you need to watch a little bit?
Yeah, so fourth outside linebacker, really not a strong candidate. I think, I wrote about this today, I think the Marvin Leal can save them a roster spot. He could be the fourth outside linebacker if need be. So that's one guy to watch this week, one position to watch. And then inside linebacker, Peyton Wilson was cleared from his concussion. He's not going to start, but they would like him to be the dime linebacker in sub packages. So can Wilson secure that spot? I think he can. And then we'll see what they do at number four outside linebacker. You know, special teams is always a big consideration. So if Leal can be number four, that certainly, you know, would be a good thing for Danny Smith. He doesn't have to, you know, worry about a spot there on the 53-man roster.
No, yeah, that's for sure. Now, Ray, you have kids, and they're in school, and you, I know, are a football. Do you go to the local high school football games every week?
I do. My kids go to West Day. My daughter is she wants to be a physical therapist, so she's on the training staff as a student helper. So I go to most every game I can when I'm not traveling. So, yeah, it's a good time.
It's getting ready to get started this week. You know, I know it's amazing, you know, when Eliza played, I was at game every week, but I still try and pop in, you know, every so often to see high school football because there's something fun about it.
No, it's a great time of the year. Colleges are starting this weekend too, and before you know it, 2 weeks from now, the NFL. So everyone who loves football, get ready. It's coming up soon.
That's true. And that means we'll be talking to you a whole lot, Ray, so, and that's always a good thing. So thank you so much, sir, and enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. So we're actually Living Treasures. The snake. Let's get back to the snake. You're comfortable with it on your neck like that?
Yeah. Until they're like 8 to 10 feet, they're not really a danger to cinch down on you. And ball pythons don't really, anyway. So
really,
yeah.
So now, you, how do you take care of them? Do you have to like give them like shots and medicine and everything other stuff? Or, I mean, are snakes other animals like that?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a medical need, you know, there's shots, injections, creams, whatever they need. We have a very versatile vet that we work with, and yeah, I mean, we just this particular ball python actually does our photo encounters. So if you're ever here and you want a picture with a ball python, let us know. just ask for Mango. That's the snake's name. So
that's the snake's name, and you know, just pretty peaceful.
Yeah,
you know, just kind of lay. Now when it's in its cage, does it just sort of lay around? And
yeah, I mean, even in the wild, snakes mostly just hide. So that's why normally if you see a rattlesnake, you crept up on it. It doesn't creep up on you.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if I see a rattlesnake, I would probably, it wouldn't have to bite me to kill me. It'd probably give me a heart attack, to be honest. So that's the python portion of this show.
Oh, this is the little one.
Oh.
We got bigger, we're bringing up.
All right, so there's bigger snakes coming out. What do you think about that?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.